Well, let's begin in prayer together and we resume. Our Father, we pray for wisdom, for grace to understand in your word. We pray that you would bless as we try and understand all the things that we are seeking to comprehend. It is youth worship special. Help our hearts to understand all these things. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Good question. Do animals go to heaven? That is a big, big question. And I think that all deep down inside all our hearts, we just wonder what will happen after, you know, they live their life on this earth. Is there something else better? And so on and so forth. Well, when we think in terms of heaven, I don't know what you understand heaven to be, but okay. Now, heaven is that perfect domicile of God, where obviously there are a number of things that we are going to literally be there in what we call soul form, spirit form, as your main idea. Right? Now, if we are going to talk about soul and spirit of animals, we will all end up as vegans. We are all, because how do you eat and it's staring at you, and then how are you going to eat that? How are you going to have your hamburgers? How are you going to order your steak? How are you going to order even your fish? The fish eyes don't stop, you know, they stare at you all the time. It becomes a problem, right? So it will not be the heaven that we think of heaven as a place for us. Otherwise, heaven would be just like on earth. There's a zoo up there, except they fly free, and then they walk around. You see, this is how God planned. God has a special plan for animals on this earth. God's plan is wonderfully ecologically balanced. Except we don't understand it. We just exterminate, we kill, we like, and then we do all kinds of funny things with animal skins and you know, killing tigers, killing all those things. For what? Unfortunately, that is our human thing here. Right? If they were to go to the same heaven with us, they will be looking for all those people. Why you shoot me? Why you eat me? And all that. There will be a lot of conflict. You know, God arranged animals for us, for our sustenance, number one. Right? That's why in Acts 10, Peter was told, Peter, up, kill, eat. Right? Now, there's no human being there. In that vision, you cannot say, up, kill, eat, referring to human being. So we are made differently. Right? So to me, the best thing to do with animals on earth is to love them, to talk to them, take care of them, every way possible. Right? And I mean it. So, you know, we have had dogs before. And when a dog is sick and you need to go to a vet, the vet's bills are very high. In fact, higher than my bills. Right? So one day the cat was very, very sick and didn't know what. I mean, the dog was very sick and then had to go down there. And the bill for that one night stay over was $500. That was, you know, 20 years ago. That's a lot of money today. Right? So today, we had to have our cat to go for vet treatment and all that. Those bills are all in three figures. 200, 300, 500, and so forth. They're very expensive. Right? But would we do it? Yes. Do we spend time to talk? Yes. Right? now that the children have gone to the U.S. for this Christmas time, and you know, we have to look after our cat all by ourselves. And so every day I could see to it, fresh water every day, you know. Yesterday he went to catch a toad and sort of hit it, and then for some reason the toad must have given him something very bad, and he threw up everything that is there, right? Because if you put the animals in heaven, they're going to fight with each other, the toads, the cat, the dogs, and then it will be not much of a heaven if half the time they're fighting each other too. So they exist on this earth for our sustenance, and we have to look after them the best way we can, right? Rather than to, you know, sometimes they call it heaven on earth concept. Do you know what is the most successful foundation in the UK? You guess. Is it a cancer foundation? Is it a kidney foundation? What do you think it is? And I'll tell you it what it is. It is second to none. It is a donkey's foundation. They have no problem raising funds for these donkeys. Where do they live? In a farm that is several acres large. They got four vets to look after them, plus attendants. Over 20 of them are employed to look after the donkeys there. They call it Donkey's Heaven. How much funds do they receive a year without even going on a drive? Millions of pounds every year, because the people feel that they deserve something. And they don't just live for a short time. In fact, the longest living creatures of that is actually in that farm. It's pretty amazing, right? There was one Australian lady, and she left her fortune to look after the cats that she had. She had 15 cats. She left behind $15 million Australian to look after the cats. And they live in a mansion, right? Many rooms. And it is not an HDB apartment. And they have got vets and wow, this is called cat's heaven. But they're on earth, right? What other plans God has not revealed to us, we leave it to God, right? So what we have, the scriptures don't write to us, don't inform us what happens to animals after they die. Does God come and take them home? Today you'll be with me in paradise. I don't think so. I really don't think so. As much as we love them, right? I mean, seriously. We had a little pet bird that lasted for about a year with us. And, you know, it was Snowdrop. And when he died, I mean, every one of us shed tears. He has even a little grave there. And then he's got a little thing here with a little cross there too. And then the Snowdrop has all the wonderful things, a eulogy written for him, you know, nicely put into, you know, laminated and placed there. And they really love the little bird. Right? I hope you understand what it means. I even wrote a poem for the little bird when he died. Right? Is it wrong? No. They are meant to be loved. So if you've got animals, love them. Talk to them. They cannot talk back. If they talk back, you're in trouble. Right? They will ask you, why you neglect me? Why you never care? They will ask you, where's my Christmas present? Well, they don't have to. Right, let's here we go. What does exercising our will when walking with God mean? Okay. Now, this is important. That's a good question. Right? Now, first and foremost, the human will. Now, this is important. The human will, Paul tells us, the things I will to do, I don't do. The things I don't do, I do. Right? Are you familiar with that passage? Okay, let's take a look at these things here. And we'll just look at this very carefully. Okay, let's look at Romans. And we'll see this very clearly, where Paul was struggling with this all the time. Chapter 7. Right? So chapter 7, for Paul tells us about the sin problem. Okay? Verse 14. We know the law is spiritual. That means the word of God. But problem, I am carnal. I'm sold under sin. What I am doing, I do not understand. What I will to do, I do not practice. What I hate, that I do. It sounds familiar, right? I want to study, but I don't. I don't want to study. Of course, that's already confirmed. Right? But we all struggle. Now it is no longer I who do it. So you tell your parents, you know, actually I want to, but it's not I who doing it. See, you can even quote Bible. Please quote properly. Right? So don't give excuses. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. To will is present with me. To perform what is good, I do not find. The good that I will to do, I do not do. The evil I will not to do, that I practice. Right? So what do I do? So verse 21, I find then a law, evil is present with me. The one who will to do good. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Then he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So this is where the struggle is. Right? So the question is how to get out of it. Well, this is what Paul tells us. Even the Apostle Paul struggled. So please do not think that he very easily just sat down and he writes Romans. No, there's a struggle inside him. What to say, how to say it, exactly the right words. It's just like you writing a composition. It doesn't come easily. You got to think about it. You got to get the facts straight. You got to check this. You got to arrange it. You got to plan it. You got to say it right, and so on and so forth. Writing is not a straightforward. Let me sit down and write. If you just sit down and write, that approach will seriously get you into trouble because that is not the way to write. Right? So if I want to write, right now, for example, I am planning what I want to write for the youth worship special. I could think, okay, what are my goals? I could think, what am I going to teach? I'm going to think, okay, what am I going to focus on? I'm going to think, how am I going to do it? I'm going to think, which text do I want to use? Right? There are 66 books, which one to choose? Now, you're going to work it out first and then start to write. But if you just write because you feel like writing, your whole approach is going to be wrong. Because it's not how it works. You got to understand there is a law inside you that will always make you go wrong. Right? It's not Murphy's law. It's just a law of sin. And it will always cause you to make you go wrong because you follow your heart. Don't do that. Look at wisdom. How do we do this? Okay? Now, this is important. How do we do this? How can we involve God? Well, when your will is like the Lord Jesus Christ, not my will, but yours be done. Ah, see, that's exercising your will, but this will is submitted to God's will. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Lord, I don't really want to study, but I know you want me to. Okay, I'm going to do it. Your will is my will. Sit down. I tell you, the next hour will be brilliant. Right? But I want to do it. I want to be the A-star person. I want to be this. It's all about you. Ah, you get weary, you get tired, you get headache, you get heartache, and you get, you know, bone ache, all the aches are there. But you do it as you submit your will to God. There will be a difference. Because I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I want to be that person committed to doing God's will. Now, that's important. Okay? Is it presumptuous to date a non-believer hoping they will convert one day. Resumptuous, you said the right words. Right? Now, go back to what Abraham, you know, when he's the son gonna get married. Right? He's already coming of age. In fact, past already the marrying age. But no girlfriend. Why? Because, you know, it very, very carefully, please be very carefully, right? Be wise. Be selective. Right? What you feel today, in other words, don't just base it upon feelings. Right? Obviously, because if you base it on feelings, you know, you do today you feel this way. What about tomorrow? You don't know how you will feel 10 years from today. Right? So that's why it's wise to choose. Now, it's important. What do you look for? Well, Abraham chose. Okay. You know, somebody who will share the same faith. But not this Canaanite, because they don't know our faith. Someone who will believe in the same God. Really? Right? Now, if this person you want to befriend, you may even love. But this person, what your desire, what you wish, what your faith means to you, means nothing to that person. That's your first danger sign. See, most people are willing to do anything for the person they love. But if this person is not even remotely interested, what makes you think after marriage the person will be converted? Frankly, won't. Think about this. Right? You see? So that's where wisdom comes in. And then that's where you want to look at it very, very carefully. Right? This is very important. The best thing to do is to lay it up in front. You know what? My faith means a lot to me. God means a lot to me. And you know what? I am going to lay my cards right now. And the person will say, okay, I hear you. I understand you. I would be interested in finding out what it is that you believe in. Okay, that's a good start. But the moment you've already committed yourself, that's it. Right? In Singapore, you go out 3 times with a person, you're going steady already. How come? Steady what? You know, a lot of people will just say, oh, you are now an item. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go easy there. And this is absolutely important, right? Think about this thing. And just imagine, right? We have a cat. We have to win the cat's love. You know that? You have to talk to the cat. Now, cats are, they can ignore you or they can come to you. They always say among cats, it's the cat who chooses you, not you choose the cat. That's an interesting idea, right? So where we go? Does the hat choose you or you choose the hat? Gryffindor. Think about it, right? Think about it, right? So this is something that you want to look at. Not Slytherin. Well, you think about what chooses. It's inside you. Now be very, very, very careful. Okay, how do I walk with concern and when I fail so much? And this is important. And I'm glad. First, you realize you fail so much. I tell you, the person who succeeds best is a person who fails so much. It's a paradox, right? You see, much of Christian life is actually a paradox. When I am weak, actually, that's when I'm strong. When I fail so much, that's where I succeed. Because when I fail so much, I begin to realize I am weaker than I think I am. Can I get a drink of water? Is there a drink of water? Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Think about what it means, okay? The important thing is that you don't give up, right? Think about this. Today, in the newspaper, in the last page, there was a girl who was born without hands, only one leg. She was born this is what she was born. And she said, you know what? I would like to do pole dancing. Those of us, even if you have got hands and legs, cannot do that. But she's 15 years old, and she was a special competition that they had. And she won a gold medal. Well, of course, it helped because she's the only competitor. Right? Nobody else even did that. But she was conscious, I don't have hands, only a stump, one leg. So she has a prosthetic leg. You know what? She did not allow the handicap to stop her. That is the issue. Right? So don't be afraid of failing. Right? But if you are a person, okay, I fail, I'm going to get up. I'm going to fail, I'm going to get up. And I'm going to do this. I think that is an absolutely important thing to do. I remember reading a story about this king who was running away from battle, and he has lost his battle, right? And so there he was, and he was hiding in a cave. And the enemies were chasing him. They haven't found him yet. He's hoping that he might be able to be saved there. But Saul went into the cave to hide. Then he saw a little spider. A little spider was trying to a web. They jumped, failed, dropped to the ground. Spider went, jump again, failed. Jump again, failed. Jump again. He counted 8-10 times. The spider failed. Never gave up. Try again. Until finally, the first one went across. He succeeded. And then they was there. And then he learned a lesson from the spider. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just keep trying. And with renewed vigor, he went back, gathered another army, and then finally succeeded. That is what we want to learn. So don't worry too much about failing, but learn from every failure. Look at Abraham's life. Same. Did he succeed? In Egypt, no. Then at another place, Gerar, and so on and so forth. And there were many, many challenges in his life. Did he give up? No. Why? Because his faith was genuine. Because it was growing. And he was really trying to do everything he can. Okay, is the book of Revelation relevant to us as teens? Yes. But try not reading on your own, because you won't understand it properly, right? So you need to understand symbolism, you need to understand prophecy, you need to understand the words and the pictures which are painted with words, because if you don't read it, understand it properly, you can read it and then misapply it, and that would be a big problem, right? So be careful. Every part of the Bible is relevant. It's a question of whether you understand it and whether you can use it wisely. But good questions. Be happy to answer your questions. So let's go on further. Now, let's turn now to page 3. And we'll take a look at Paul's writing. And he wrote a nice, wonderful letter to his spiritual son called Timothy. And so he said, Timothy, this is what you want to learn. Okay? In the last days, chapter 3, verse 1, there will be perilous times. There will be all kinds of people who are going to come up. Right? They are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, you name it. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, no self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. Wow. This sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah city. I mean, can you see this? It hasn't changed. Life goes on. We are a different century, but mankind is still the same. There's one thing that has not changed, mankind. And that is something that is almost a permanent thing until God comes in. Okay, now in verse 10, Paul commands Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, and so on and so forth. And that's wonderful. Right? And then in verse 12, okay, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned. You have been assured of. Now watch this very carefully. Right? Same like you have learned all these things, you've been assured of them, you know the person from whom you have learned them. From childhood, you have known the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. And that is your privilege, to, from childhood, know the scriptures. Now the question is how to regard them. Okay? They are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. That's where you learn wisdom, you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, find faith in Him, and it's going to be a blessing in your life. And then here comes the part of the scripture. Now, this is absolutely important. Okay? The Holy Scriptures, what can they do? They will make a person wise for salvation. They will help a person to find faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, the scriptures given by inspiration of God. Remember, we read that earlier, right? This is important. Moved by the Spirit of God. Here is called inspiration of God. And what is it good for? It is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? So that you can be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this is what God has done. Right? Now, He knows that we need some kind of a guidebook, a kind of a handbook. And so He gave to us all kinds of things. Right? So, some people like poetry. Okay, God provides for that. Some people like history. God provides for that. Some people like law. God provides for that. So that all the things that God provides for will help the person to become wise for salvation through faith. That's how to regard the scriptures. This is God giving to us scriptures in such a way that it appeals to everybody of different interests. Some people are more drawn to poetry. Some people are not. Right? For example, there's a man out there called Timothy Keller. Right? Now, he's actually a Presbyterian pastor, and he's just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4. And he said, you know, suddenly, I've counseled with thousands of people, sat at deathbed countless times. And yet here I am facing the fact that I am going to die soon. Right? He's in his 70s. So he was just looking at it. He says, what draws me? He says, I am reading the Psalms even more now. Right? Reading the Psalms even more now. Why? Because it appeals to him. Can you see what I'm trying to say? So different books will appeal to different people differently. That God allows for that. Some people like history, so narrative. Some people like that, and they're very good at it. Or some people like gospels. Some people like epistles. So God gives all of these things for us, inspires all the writers so that they will write meaningfully, effectively, insightfully, powerfully, so that we all can be equipped for everything. Right? So that's what God does. It gave to us the scriptures. And that is why we want to read the scriptures. You've got to pay a little bit of attention to it. Now, let's take a look at Psalm 19. And here is like a written in poetic form, written with an appreciation for what the scriptures can do for us. Take a look. And let's get, you know, make a list of these things and check for yourself how it works out. Okay, here we go. On page 4 of your notes, right? So the Word of God is called by different terms. It's sometimes called law, sometimes testimony. Some parts are statutes, some parts are commandments, some parts are judgments. So there are different types. The Word of God can appear as commandments, can appear as law, can appear as statutes, can appear as testimonies, you name it. There are a whole variety of possibilities, right? Now, question is, what can it do? And wonderfully, and I want to tell you this, okay? What it can do, it can convert, it can change a person. That's one. Right? Think about it. It can make a person wise. Right? It can rejoice the heart. It can enlighten the eyes. Right? Can you see this? So the moment you read the scriptures, you can understand that and you find, hey, listen, I'm enlightened. Remember, you don't read your own thoughts into the scriptures. You draw from it. You are enlightened. And that's wonderful. And that's important, right? Now, it's just pretty amazing. We on Saturdays, we have a group of people who come for catechism class. And there's one little family there. Right? And you just really wonder whether they really understand. Well, you never know what God can do. So the older man, he says, I have been a Taoist for 20 years. You know, I am now beginning to understand God more and more, and I determine I want to be a Christian. How is that possible? You see, the Word of God can convert a person. I mean, he's not young. He's 70 years old already. And yet, he has just written this. Yes. His wife also writes, yes. How come? This is the power of God at work. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Right? So you never know how the Word of God can convert people. Now, does he have a whole lot of knowledge? No. But to him, to change from Taoism to Christianity, he says it's a big step for him. What can happen? There you go. You see, it reminds us again and again how it can convert a person. Right? Now, Timothy Keller is reading the Psalms. Why? Because he's literally preparing himself for death. Now, that's interesting to see how that works out. Right? Now, he was going to speak at a conference in February 2020. I was invited to go to the conference that where he was going to be speaking at. But I said, no, I was not going because it's KL. And, you know, it was a COVID-19 situation. So I didn't want to go. But it was there, 2020, that they said, you know, we found a lump. You know, we found something in your lymph node. They're swollen. Probably nothing serious, but please check within 3 months. And by the time he went to check, this was first understood, diagnosed in KL, 2020, February. That was last year, 1 year a bit, you know, right? And then it's now confirmed, pancreatic cancer, stage 4, no hope of recovery. So how do I, now I've been telling people about how to face that. Suddenly, I'm facing it. Suddenly, you know, I am a little bit shaky. I'm a little... Now, he's very honest about it. I suddenly realized I need to face death myself personally now. So what's my comfort? Not in his works, not in his life, not in his ministry, but in what? The Psalms, the Word of God. You see what I'm trying to say? And this comes as a testimony from him to all the people who are, you know, trying to figure out where he's going to go. He's a Presbyterian pastor over in America. And, he starts churches quite all over the place. And that's where he is, right? So the challenge is to read the Word of God until you understand it. And then you learn to love it. More to be desired are they than gold. So you come to the point and say, what is my favorite book that I can devote time to read? I can read Sherlock Holmes, once. And then I sort of leave it alone. And then maybe several years later, reread. But it wants me to read every day. No, thank you. Not interested, you know. All right? Why? Elementary, my dear Watson. Because it is not going to be something that will go beyond, you know, rejoicing my heart. Not really. Right? I mean, all those things here. And, there are weaknesses in Sherlock Holmes too, you know. Right? What is that? One was that Watson was trying to cure him out of his use of cocaine. He said, I am so bored. I use cocaine to perk myself up. What is that? Well, these are all the stories told about this man here. But how much of it is true? None of it is true. It's just a make-believe man. This is not even true. So why am I going to devote all the time to studying it? No. Reading for fun, I understand. But to read it, study it? No, thank you. Is it going to make me wise for salvation? No. Is it going to help me find faith? No. Is it going to, in any way, rejoice my heart? No. Right? That's reading it because, we just want to keep in touch with the world, as it. Right? So same thing, read Harry Potter's book. Have I read Harry Potter? Yes, every single volume. Well, just reading it, that's interesting. That's interesting, right? But is it not? Are we going to get involved in making those magic spells? No. But it's captured the imagination of the world. We want to know what's happening in the world. Instead of condemning it, you might as well really understand, wow, this person is really, really, very, very skillful in writing. Okay. Now, as we take a look at all these things here, you want to watch how the effect of it all, okay? Now, the challenge for it all is how do you want to respond to it? And I like what the psalmist says, okay? First and foremost, look at page 5 and 6 now, okay? Page 5, it says, appropriate, moreover, by them your servant is warned, right? So you read the scriptures, and the scriptures warn you of sin, warn you of the dangers of sin, warn you that this world is a perilous world, warn you that you can be very weak and you can fall. Okay, I am warned. It also brings encouragement. If you keep the Lord's word, there is great reward. Well, I am guided by both, warn and encourage at the same time. Right? So why would I read the scriptures? For this good reason. Right? So who can understand errors? Now, we all have got secret faults. We all pretend to be good. We all pretend to be nice. We all pretend, not really. There are secret sins in our life. There are secret faults in our life that we will not even tell our best friend. Right? There are bad thoughts, there are wicked thoughts, there are wicked sins in our life which we don't even want to confess. We don't want to admit they're there, but they are there. Right? Now, we talk about presumptuous sin. There we go. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. What is danger about presumptuous sin? In fact, any sin, it will dominate you. That's what sin is like. It will have dominion over you. no matter what, right? It may be gambling, it will be addictive. That's what I mean by it will have dominion, right? It could be gaming, and it will have dominion over you, right? You can buy a chair to help you game better, but the point of it all is not it's going to help you better, but it is going to control you. It will have dominion over you. And there's no two ways about it, right? So the psalmist recognizes, please do not think that the sins of today are just new ones. They've always been there, whatever it is, right? So when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, why were they like that? See, sin has dominion over them. And they are going to be there dominated by the sin unless they are stopped. And that is what happens. And it will just spread. Okay? And then he said, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Right? So these are the things that we want to do, that we want to think about. Well, there are things that we can take a look at. Okay? And this is a good prayer to consider. Keep me from presumptuous sins. And many people fall into the sin of presumption when it comes to boy-girl relationship. Why? Because you presume that, you know, you're in love, that's good enough. It's going to work out. That is the sin of presumption. And that, you know, and the danger of sin is that it's going to dominate. Right? You see the thing here? So we must recognize the weaknesses that are inside us. And then we take a look at it. Okay? And then, of course, the second prayer that is really, really necessary is, you know, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable. And this is important for us. Right? So when we take a look at the Word of God, now this is important for us. So today, the first day, we talk about worship. Now, we got to ask ourselves, how can we improve it? Right? Two, we talk about the walk with God. How can we improve it? Three, today we talk about the Word of God. Right? How can we look at this thing? And these are the three things that will characterize the life of Abraham. Now, you ask yourself, what is it that characterizes our life? Now, ask yourself. Seriously, what characterizes your life? And you'll find that part of the problem is, you know, there is just sin can characterize our life. It's a very serious problem, right? Now you look at it. So you find that the no faith is a part of your life. I don't know how to find God. It's a godless life. It's a faithless life. There's nothing there, right? Now I hope you understand. And you'll find that if you're not careful, you are going to end up with wasting your life. Now, you live already, what, 15 years, 16 years, 17 years, 18 years or more. What have you done with your life in all these years? What stands out about your life? What's significant about your life? And you find to your horror, you know what? I don't have very much to speak of. Right? There isn't God in my life. There isn't faith in my life. There isn't strength in my life. There isn't wisdom in my life. There is no power in my life. What do I have? Nothing. And a lot of people actually have nothing to fall back on. They just follow what makes them happy. Oh, come on. That's what life is all about? Just doing things that make you happy? Well, life has got its challenges, has got its problems too. The question is, how do we get out of all those things here? And to me, these three characteristics, this macro picture of Abraham's life, really helped me to understand how life can be lived. Right? Look at all that God has done in my life for me. How do I want to respond? How do I consider response? To me, a great way to respond is learn how to worship God better. That's important. Can you see what I'm trying to get at? Oh, here is another one. So, okay, Saturday, come for worship. That's a good thing to do. Sunday, come for worship. That's it. But, you know, there is also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, Sunday accounted for. But what do you do with Monday to Friday? Walk. Right? So this may cover a little bit. Okay, worship Saturday, Sunday. Well, this is Monday to Friday. Unless your weekend is your week is only made out of 2 days. We've got 7 days. Right? Now, here is an old saying. 7 days without God makes 1 week. And it's true. Right? You think about this thing. So as you take a look at this, what do I want to do? I want to learn to walk with. How can I walk with God? There we go. The scriptures is one way. That's how we learn. Right? Let's learn how we can learn, whatever we can learn. You can make me wise. It can enlighten my eyes. It can rejoice my heart. I can keep away from sin. I can be wiser. I can be stronger. Why not? So I learned to walk with the Word of God. You see? So this is how, and that's how Abraham lived his life. And when you take a look at life this way and say, wow, then you have got a great future ahead of you, where God is going to be alongside, guiding, strengthening, encouraging, protecting, keeping you in every way possible. Now, if you can have that, then that's what you know, you can be so much better, stronger, wiser because of it, obviously. You think about this, right? So at this youth worship special, what we want to share with you is this reality of how you can make your life count for something. Well, I know that when I was your age, and I mean, what did I do? Same, struggling with studies, temptation of the world, wanting to do things, not being able to do all the things I wanted to accomplish. You know what? Until I say, enough, stop. What am I going to do? I am going to give my life to God. You know, I've never regretted that day. Right? So I've understood my salvation. I've understood how to find strength. I want to carry on. I am just determined to live the Lord all my life. So to me, salvation was very important. Second, strength was very important. Three, service was very important. And I have been following these lines all the way through. It always begins with my salvation. And then from there, I want to find a strength. And I want to learn how to serve the Lord the way I should. Right? Slightly different from Abraham, but this is his life. So this morning, before we close, let me just ask you once again. Where is God in your life? Think about this. What is your life really like as you understand it? Right? You think about these things here. And as you look at this Word of God that has been given to us, the question is, do you even bother to read it? And when you read, do you understand what you are reading? See, most of us, okay, I read, okay, but I don't understand, and we stop. Listen, come up with more questions. We'll be happy to answer them for you. Well, I had a lot of questions when I was growing up too. But I am one of those people who want to find answers. What, no point living with questions. It drives you crazy. I want to find out, what are the answers? Where are they to be found? And the best source of knowledge, of information, of instruction, just simply the scriptures and the Word of God. And it was my prayer, Lord, just help me, open my eyes so that I can see, read, understand the scriptures. That was my sole prayer for many, many years. No regrets as to how God has heard and answered prayers. And it can happen to your life too. Right? It doesn't mean that you end up being a pastor. No. But it really means that your life would be so much more focused, so much more faithful, so much more fruitful in every sense of the word. And it can happen today. It can happen beginning now. It's a question of yielding your heart to the Lord. And that's the best place to start. Think about this, okay? Well, let's pray together. And this morning, as we conclude the third day of our time spent in youth worship special, maybe God is speaking to your heart. You just don't realize it. And he's really asking you, what are you doing with your life? Is God in your life? That's a question. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Maybe God is just trying to help you. And you, maybe you are struggling with sin, struggling with yourself, struggling with what's happening, just struggling. And you don't know what the answer is. Well, this is where the Lord tells us. The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. It really can. It can enlighten your eyes. It can just strengthen you. It can keep you from sin. It can change your whole life. But you've got to say, yes, I want this for myself. You know, you've got to say, this is what I really want to have God in my life. I want to have that faith in my life. I want to grow wiser. I want to become a better person than I am. You know what? It can happen. It really, really, really can. I know it did with me. And I know we have the same God. He can do this for you. But you got to be honest, earnest, sincere in your heart. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us. We pray that you would help us to understand your word. Help us to know that it is relevant. It can be real. It can be a powerful thing that will change our heart and our mind and convert us thoroughly. We pray that you'll begin this word. Help us to reach out to you in worship, determining also to walk with you and to have the word of God a part of our life. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.